I think that so long as this patriarchal violation imperative exists, then women will be at risk and the world will be at risk. Do I believe, as radical feminists do, that the emancipation of women and men is only possible through the ending of patriarchy? Yes. And not only that, but I also believe that the emancipation of the natural world is only possible through the ending of patriarchy. And part of the problem is that patriarchy is based on a violation imperative. I'm going to read something from something I wrote several years ago called The Man Box. I'll read a couple paragraphs from the middle of it. The problem is that within this patriarchy, identity itself is based on violation. Violation becomes not merely an action, but an identity, who you are and how you in society define who you are. Within this patriarchy, men's masculinity defines itself by identifying others, any and all others, as inferior and as being therefore violable and then violating them. For men under this patriarchy, these acts of violating others are how we become who we are. They validate who we are. They then reaffirm who we are, as through these repeated acts of violation, we come to perceive each new violation as reinforcement not only of our superiority over this other we violated, but as simply the way things are. So without this identification of others as inferior, without this violation, we are not. We're a void. And so we must fill this void. Filled with validations of our superiority, filled with violations. Thus the rapes, thus the violation of every boundary set up by every indigenous culture, thus the extinctions, thus the insane belief in an economic system based on infinite growth, despite the fact that we live on a finite planet. Thus the refusal to accept any limits on technological progress, more properly termed technological escalation, as it really involves an escalation of the wielder's ability to control and violate at a distance, or on scientific knowledge. Thus the sending of probes to penetrate the deepest folds of the ocean floor. Thus the bombing of the moon. So what I mean by all this is that the central act of patriarchy is to define another group as other and then as inferior. And it's no problem to define another group as other because obviously salmon are different than humans and salmon are other than humans. And from a salmon's perspective, humans are other than salmon. And that's a problem that when we try to take down patriarchy, that somehow there's this idea that we have to erase the notion of other existing whatsoever. And that itself is really part of patriarchy, is to consume these others, by which I don't mean eating a fish, but I mean to pull these others into a giant glop. And instead, it's more like perceiving different members of a family where no one is superior to anybody else, or different members of a community. Nobody's superior to anybody else, but we're all different. We all have different gifts. So redwood trees are other than humans. The problem isn't in perceiving this difference. The problem is in assigning a hierarchy to this difference and declaring that the other is inferior to me and then rationalizing the other's inferiority to me. And we can do this through many means. We can do it by pretending that trees aren't fully subjective beings, or that women aren't fully subjective beings, or that indigenous people aren't fully subjective beings, or that any person who is different than me, the standard by which everyone is judged, they're all inferior to me. And this is manifest in zoos where they are behind walls and they are the other, who is kept in a cage while I am the subjective observer. This would be true of pornography, where the women exist as resources to be exploited, and they exist as orifices to be violated, and not as other fully subjective beings. This is true with our very epistemology. I've said before that Richard Dawkins talks about how science bases its claims to truth on its spectacular ability to make matter and energy jump through hoops on command and to predict what will happen and when. And that's really extraordinary, because he's making how we know something is true is based on our ability to dominate and control it. Or in my book, Myth of Human Supremacy, I talk about a list of the greatest human inventions. And all these human inventions are means by which they were able to extend their control, like gunpowder. You can kill at a distance. And they didn't include, they didn't include welcoming songs of salmon. The Talawa and the Indians of the Pacific Northwest would have welcoming songs for salmon. They didn't include any of those in their greatest inventions. And what this culture values is its ability to exert control over others. And that's really core to patriarchy, that when you identify women as inferior to men, men identify women as inferior to men, and then they violate them. And when every act of violation is an act showing my superiority, because I do too, I am not the one to whom it is done. I sexually assault you. You don't sexually assault me. This is of course one of patriarchy's terrors of homosexuality, is that it breaks that. There's this great line by Catherine MacKinnon: "Man fucks woman, subject verb object," and that's a really wonderful condensing of the patriarchal objectification of women. So, yes, I think that so long as this patriarchal violation imperative exists, then women will be at risk and the world will be at risk. And then in addition to this, there is part of the brilliance of patriarchy has been that it has combined the power of domination with the power of orgasm and the power of sex. And that's absolutely brilliant. Andrea Dworkin is the one who really articulated this best, that you have this, you know, sexuality is one of the strongest, I don't want to say impulses, it's one of the strongest activities that we have, one of the most both intimate and powerful activities in which we can participate. And patriarchy, by combining the power of domination, which is also a very powerful motivator, with the power of orgasm, has created something that is strong enough that it's killing the planet. And there's another part to this too, which is I'm writing a book right now about stopping rape culture. And in the book, the original plan for the book was I was going to go through Peggy Reeve Sande's, she's an anthropologist who explored different cultures for why some cultures are high rape and some cultures are low rape. And what she found is that there are some commonalities among many high rape cultures. And one of them would be, a list of them would include that if males are considered superior to females, then it's more like a high rape culture. If there's a lot of competition in general as opposed to cooperation in the culture, it's more likely a high rape culture. If there is a male creator deity as opposed to a female or a couple, then it's more likely a high rape culture. Which is pretty interesting when you get a male creator deity, because that's really sort of counterintuitive, because, you know, anybody can recognize it as females who give birth. So it's very sort of natural to have a female creator deity, or you can recognize the role of couples that, you know, the man plays a role too. And you can have that recognition, but it's really weird to have the whole thing taken over by a male. Because in real life, males don't actually create anything by themselves, which is another problem with one of the reasons we need to get rid of patriarchy. Because I think that a lot of the stuff that gets done in this culture is based on what I guess you would call womb envy, that the Richard Drennan put it very well. If a woman can create life and I can destroy it, who is the more powerful? And that for me really sums up patriarchy's death urge and what Mary Daly called patriarchy's necrophilia. Another way to think about this is, why do scientists get so excited when they're able to create a few amino acids that are part of the building blocks of life in a laboratory? And one of the reasons they get so excited is because they made it with their heads, and as opposed to every female bunny on the planet who can make life just like rabbits. And so I've always found it really, it looks like there was this astronomer several years ago was asked why it's important to explore Mars. And the guy said, because it will answer that most important question of all, which is, are we all alone? And that's a beautiful question to articulate precisely the problems with patriarchy, in that how can you ask if we're all alone when we're surrounded by all of this beautiful life? Well, because it doesn't count. The only thing that counts is something that was either discovered by a man or created by a man, preferably in a laboratory, something that came out of his head. Because as soon as you have defined female and nature as inferior and what they create as inferior, then what's left? Well, you have to compensate by saying, well, everything I create in my head is worth something. Everything she creates, everything the world creates is worth nothing. Anyway, so Peggy Reeve Sande, we have those three. We have, it's highly militarized. It's probably a high rate culture. And, she has a whole, if childcare is devalued, it is probably a high-rate culture. She's got this whole list. And the point is, I was going to go through this list in the book and then discuss how we can change each one. So we can try to move away from a male creator deity to, you know, creating a female, not creating, but worshiping a female creator deity instead. We can try to transform that. We can try to work on various ways to decrease, to get rid of the notion that men are superior to women. But then I ran into a problem, which is that the question of highly militarized, because in order to gain access to the resources necessary to create this microphone and the resources necessary to create this computer and the resources necessary to maintain this whole way of life, those resources come from somewhere and somebody else already lives on that land. And so in order to get these resources, you have to have a means to steal them, which means you have to have a military. And so one of the ways this comes back to is that if you're going to accept a way of life based on conquest, then you're going to have to accept a way of life that's based on rape. Because militarism is necessary. I want to be very clear on this. To get access to the resources, you have to have a military. A highly militarized culture is a high rape culture. So, yes, it's absolutely important that we teach men that no means no. That's absolutely important that rapists not be allowed off with community service of 3 months for raping poor women. It's absolutely necessary that rich people not be allowed to rape with impunity. It's absolutely necessary that we change all those things. It's absolutely necessary that we value and respect women as women, and it's absolutely necessary that we get rid of pornography. It's, all those things are absolutely necessary, but they're not sufficient, because you're also going to have to get rid of a militarized culture. Another way to look at this is that a militarized culture, basically, what is the point of a military? The primary point of a military is to take what other people have. And you have to presume that you are superior in order to do that, and you have to presume that, see, here's part of the problem, is that from the beginning, patriarchy has perceived women as resources, as they are reproductive resources, and they are sexual resources. That's how they've been perceived in this culture. And what is necessary is, yes, to destroy patriarchy. What is necessary also, at the same time, and this is a different way of saying the same thing, is to destroy resourcification and to destroy the perception of women as resources and to destroy the perception of everything as resources. Those both come from patriarchy. And if the planet is to survive, and if we are to emancipate women, men, children of all species, then that here is how I'm more comfortable with this question. Yes, patriarchy must be destroyed for the emancipation of women and men and everyone else. But what really must be destroyed is supremacism. The supremacism that underlies and forms the basis for patriarchy.